the boy band steps up. They did good, didn't they? We did. You know, we are so blessed. And I guess they kicked out a few of the girls today and said it's the boy band day. So if you're a female singer, I guess you just didn't make the cut. No, actually, I don't see any of them here. So you could use that. Yes, they did great. I do love the fact that we have such a blessed church that Kenny and Kendall are gone. And as you know, this is, I'm excited for them. I really am. I talked to him as he was at the airport on Friday, and I can't help but be so excited. It's the first time they've ever gotten away without their kids. It's like, you're gonna enjoy this, and you're going to want to do it often. People wonder why we've been doing it for, it's okay. He's okay now. He grew up fine. He's 18, and we've been doing it for 11 years. So we've been doing it for a while, and we just every year decide that one week we're going to get away and be just husband and wife, and the kids survived. I'm not sure how scarred they are, but they're here. They're alive. They didn't die. What's that movie? Did you die? No, they're good. So they're good. Okay, we've been doing some stuff. I told you last week I wanted to just focus the whole month on Christmas, and something I've never done in all the years I've been here, just because we don't want to just get to next Sunday morning and go, oh, it's Christmas Sunday. It's Christmas. We want to celebrate the season. And the hope that we talked about last week was we have a hope that in Christ, all the Old Testament scripture, and I shared a bunch from my Isaiah and some other different scriptures last week of all the Old Testament prophecies that came to fulfillment when Jesus was actually born. But the other part of that hope that we're going to start with today, and then we're going to get into some other things, is the hope that he's coming back for us. There's a hope that we have as Christians that Jesus is going to not just say, okay, hey, he came, he redeemed you, he sets you free, and now you can live this way, but he's coming back for us again. He's not going to leave us alone. He's not going to leave us abandoned. He's coming back for his bride. And whether we meet him first or whether he comes, we are going to see him again. And that is a hope that it sounds odd talking about it today. That is a hope that we have as Christians. We have an eternity. And what really struck me was I was thinking through the class that Mark had us do on Monday nights, Driven by Eternity by John Bevere. And I guess a challenge I have for all of us, including myself, is are the decisions that we make on a daily basis, driven by our eternity or by our temporary existence here on this earth? Because if you've ever had a temporary existence, this is it right here. It feels so permanent. This is life. No. This is the life to prepare us for the life to come. Eternity is what it's all about. It's spending eternity with the Lord, inheriting the kingdom of God and manifesting every day and living in a place of true joy, of true peace. But we need to learn to which is the class I'll be doing by Bill Johnson. We need to learn how to manifest the kingdom here now. And the kingdom of God wants to manifest through your lives every day, not just down the road here and down the road there. He wants us to experience eternity now, but preparing us to live. Why would we want to just live this way? We're saved. We want to live the way we want to now. And one day we're going to die and we're going to go to heaven and experience all of God's presence. Why not start now? Why not start enjoying the benefits and the blessings of God now? And so I'm going to read you just a couple of scriptures real quick. I just print them off, and Kimberly's really going to be mad at me because she won't even have time, but she will. She's quick enough. We started last week, Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, a son is given, and the government will rest upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, and Prince of Peace. And that's the one that I spent most of the week last week in Isaiah. And that was the prophecy of him to come. But in John 1:14, one of my favorite verses when it comes to Christmas, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, and the glory of the begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word became flesh, and he dwelt among us. God became man. Jesus was born. One of the greatest stories in all of Scripture is the God of all the universe becoming a man. We used to teach this when we were doing college campus ministry. And we used to use this analogy when we were, believe it or not, I know this sounds really bad for some of you, but it's true. I would have to suffer. And for 2 years of my life, I had to go to Myrtle Beach for 3 months. And I had to witness to people on the beach. It was a rough job. Somebody had to do it. And so one of the things that we used to always tell people when we were teaching them how to evangelize was, they always say, well, why would God have to become a, this is silly. And the, one of the analogies we used to give all the time is fun because it's very childish, but it's very, but it relates to everybody. If there's a bunch of ants down there and we're a bunch of humans, what's the best way to relate to being an ant? Is to be an ant yourself. The best way that God could relate to us in our humanity is to become one himself. And therefore, he became the example and he became a relational piece. Because now we can read through scripture like Hebrews 4 and others that we have a God who can understand our weaknesses because he was made as a man and he related to us and he gave his life for us. And now we can appreciate what he did more because he didn't just say, I'm God, love me, but no, I'm God, I gave myself for you in the very likeness of who you are. And that's the God that we have. So it was vital for this step to take place for Jesus. And besides fulfillment of prophecy, it was Jesus coming and manifesting himself on this earth. And then if you look into the other fulfillment of that is in Matthew chapter 1, where he talks about, wherefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be a child and bear a son. And he'll be called Emmanuel, which means God is with us. And that's another thing we'll probably hit more next week. But this is another fulfilled prophecy out of Isaiah that this is a virgin birth, Emmanuel. There's so many fulfillments in the hope that they had back in the day to have the fulfillment of this prophecy. But we now have more hope knowing he's coming back for us. And then if you jump down here, here's Acts 1:11. You're welcome to jump there if you want. But it says, men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand there looking into the sky? The same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into his kingdom. He's coming back the same way he went up. That is a promise that we have as a church. That right there is prophecy going to be fulfilled one day. That's the hope that we have as a church. You know, I look around and I think about people when we lose people. We're going to see them one again. You know, the greatest blessing is he's coming back for us. That's how much he cares. He wants us home with him. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. May the God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. What is the purpose of our walk on this earth? Is this verse right here. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. May the God of peace sanctify you, make you holy, spirit, soul, body. His desire is that he makes us blameless on this earth. Not that we're going to be blameless one day. He says, until the coming of the Lord. We ought to want to live this way now. Why would we want to wait one day to be holy? I want to be holy now. Why would we want to wait one day to have our spirit and our soul have peace and joy and strength? Why would we want to keep pushing it down there? Well, one day we're going to be happy. I want to be happy now. One day we're going to be healed. I want to be healed now. Why are we waiting for the kingdom blessings and promises for one day? And that's one of the biggest pet peeves. And if Kenny's here, you know, he gets a little bit more frustrated than I do about this. And that's pretty hard because this has been a pet peeve of mine for a long time. I hate hearing, well, at least they're healed now in heaven. You know what I want to say back to him? A little too late. Sorry. I know it sounds mean. A little too late. Because God's promises are for yes and amen for now. They're not for just one day, and yes, they are for tomorrow, and yes, they are to come. But his promises are now. The hope that we have is the word of God now working. And I want to have the hope of him coming back, and I want to have the promises of God being fulfilled for my eternity too. But I want to live with peace now. I want to live with hope now. I want to live with healing now. I want to be provided for now. You know, it's no good for saying, oh, you know what? You're going to be walking on the streets of gold, but hey, right now you're going to be living on floors of dirt. Oh, glory to God. I have something to look forward to. Who wants to? I don't want to live that way. And I'm not saying that it's all going to be this temporal happiness. No, I'm talking about why not live for the kingdom now? Why not live with the joy and the peace and the blessing that God has promised you today rather than just looking for it? But we have the promise. He's coming back for us. But he wants us to live this way till he comes. He wants to be kingdom-minded and kingdom-focused. So when he does come back, we're ready for him too. He's come back for a bride, spotless. I want that to be me. I want it to be us. Amen? One more scripture, and then I'll move on to more of this morning's two other points. Last one is Revelation 22. Actually, I'm going to go ahead and just turn there with my Bible because I don't like, my notes are short, and I'm going to probably want to, I did you guys a favor, because Kenny is the same way I am. We turn to a passage, and I go, let's just turn here, and you know what we do? We get there, we want to read the whole chapter, because context, you cannot be a good student of the Bible. I'm just being honest with you, folks. You can't be a good student of the Bible and just pick and choose verses where they sound good. That's how you develop really bad doctrine. And you know what? You get what they call strange fire coming out of you. Like, man, well, the Bible says this. Did you read the verse before it? I mean, did you read the one after it? I mean, context is kind of important here. And it really bothers me. We just pick and choose what we like and go, oh, that's nice. And you go, you know, did you read why they wrote? I mean, if you go and read like Jeremiah 29, even though I love the, do you ever read the context of that? Captivity, doom, destruction. But I've got a plan for you. Why not do the whole thing? The whole thing is God's plan for us is good in the midst of darkness, in the midst of trials. We're going to get to that in a little bit in Nehemiah in just a minute. All right, let's go and, let's just read it all. What do you think? Let's start verse 6. Revelation 22, verse 6. And my notes are like, okay, we'll be fine. I don't want to cut this off. This is so good. Guys, this is, I mean, if you want to turn to your right one time, mine's blank. You know what that means? This is the very end of the Bible. Pretty cool stuff here. Let's just read it. Talking about the hope that we have as Christians. He said unto me, these things are faithful and true. The Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angels to show unto his servants things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keeps the saying of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down in worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then he said to me, see thou, do not. For I am a fellow servant, and of the brethren, the prophets, and of them that keep the sayings of this book, worship God. So isn't that awesome? John was so moved by the revelation of this island that he was taken to, that as he was, this was now him coming back to himself, by the way, kind of figuring out, and he just wanted to worship. He was so moved with worship, so moved with what he saw, that he just worshiped, and then the angels, no, worship God. And when we hear the hope that we have, it ought to turn into worship. The hope that God's given us, we ought to worship him with everything in our being. Verse 10, and he said to me, seal not the sayings of this prophecy of the book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that which is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. My brother, I just want to make it to heaven. Well, did you read that? I don't want to just make it, folks. I want to be a reward. I want to have that great, well done, my good and faithful servant, for great is your reward. I want that to be said over me. I want that to be said over all of us here. I don't want to say, hey, you made it. Good job. You know, you passed barely. You just got, you know, it's funny, if you would have got a D in that last class, you were done. You're that close. I want to be the guy that I'm shooting to be the valedictorian. I want to be the top of my class. That's how much, I want to be holy, then holy. That's why I'm not going to spend too much time unless I get myself in trouble. But that's why the lack of holiness today makes me so angry. I'm not going to try to offend y'all, but listen, we live in a world that our morals and decay has went so far that we don't even know what wrong and right is anymore. Holiness is not something that should just be thrown away because it doesn't fit today's society. Holiness is a mandate of God. He's a holy and just God. And you know what? Just as he did, he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Why? Because of their sin and their lack of repentance. Do you think that just because we have a merciful God, he was merciful back then too, different ways. But this is the same God. He's a holy and just God. And if we don't get lined up with his way of doing things, there is a judgment coming. And for Christians, we will also be judged differently than the world. There's more than one judgment. Go read the end. There's more than one. There's the first judgment, which goes yes or no, pass or fail. Do you have the blood? Is your name written in the book? That's the first judgment. And I'm praying, and my prayer is that everyone I know can get past that one. And yes, that is my dream. It is God's plan. It is God's that none should perish, but all should have eternal life. That's the heart of God, too. The heart of God, for Jesus died for who? The sins of the world. And so this is the God he loves. We need to be the ambassador and the mouthpiece to everyone around us so they can hear the good news. As Paul talks about in Romans 10, how are they going to hear? They're going to hear only by a preacher, which is us. But they're also going to watch your lifestyle. And they're going to hear you talk like the world, act like the world, watch movies like the world, and do things like the world. Eventually, how are they going to want what you got? That is what holiness is for. It's not a badge of honor that you wear. Yeah, I'm holy. That's just being like a Pharisee. And that is what Jesus condemned, and I condemn the same thing. But holiness is not what we condemn. We honor that. We honor those things. That some of you in this room, listen to me carefully. For some of you in this room, going and grabbing a Bud Light is sin. Because you know in your heart it's unholy for you to do that. Others, it's not a sin. And that's between you and God. I'm not here to judge, but you know your heart. Paul says we do, I'm way on a tangent. I need to stop. We condemn ourselves by the decisions that we make. The condemnation, the judgment we bring on ourselves is because we're not listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit inside of us drawing you to be holy. And if you're doing things that is against the will of God for your life, it is rebellion. And I want to see a church that's walking. And it is different for different people. Because you know what? Some of you in this room don't have a desire to, how do you want to go there? Watching a movie. Let's go there. Is watching PG-13, R-rated movies? We can talk about drinking and movies. We can talk about all of it. Music. We can't judge people. But when do you live a life that's conviction-based versus just, hey, this is okay. Everyone's doing it. It's fine. I'm going to go to heaven. Oh, good. You get to heaven, all right. But are you going to get to heaven striving and thriving in the kingdom? Or are you going to get there? And he says, yeah, you made the list. Hold on. Let me make sure. Yeah, you did make the list. And anyway, Jesus is shocked when you make the list? No, I'm just kidding. He won't be shocked. He might be. No, he knows who's written in that book. Because he's your. You know why he's not shocked? Because he's one of yours. You're one of his. There's no joke there. I shouldn't joke like that, really. The Father knows those are his because you're one of his children. And he doesn't forget one of you. Every one of us he knows. He's not going to be surprised. The only person to be surprised are the ones that are living like they think they should without Jesus. And that's the only surprise going to happen. Jesus won't be surprised. Your family, he called you. He adopted you as part of the family of God. All joking aside, there will be no surprises on that end. But are we living a life that this right here, that we're going to be rewarded for it. Verse 13, I'll stop that tangent. That was a long one. I better stop. I don't have enough time. I am Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end, the first and last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter into through the gates into our city. Finally, we get to eat of the tree of life. Isn't that going to be good? Poor Adam and Eve, they just missed it by a few thousand years. For without our dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and makes a lie, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and the morning star. And here we go, the whole verse that I came to this chapter for. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And him that heareth thee say, come. And let him that athirst come. And whoever will let him take the water of life freely. For, I might as well read the rest of it now, right? For I testify unto you, every man that hears these words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add to these things, God shall add to them the plagues that are written in this book. Not a good thing. And if any man shall take away the words of this book and the prophecy, God shall take away his part of the book of life and out of the holy city from these things which are written in the book. Pretty serious. And which testify these things, surely I will come quickly. Amen. Even so, Lord Jesus. And the grace of Lord Jesus Christ be among you. We have a hope as Christians that Jesus is coming back. And the instructions given us right here, the very last book of the Bible, the very last chapter, and the very last few words are, come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Jesus, come. You know why we can say that? Because our focus is living a life fixed on Jesus and not our circumstances. Our circumstances many times, well, you know, and we used to have a lot of talks when our kids were younger. We want to see our kids grow up. That better need, I mean, I love this kid, but it's not, he can't be my focus. Jesus has to be. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Even if it means we can't see him turn 18, which he already did, so okay, one milestone. Because our heart is to know that Jesus has the best plan for all of us. And that is where our focus should be. And that's the hope that we have. So Christmas isn't just about the coming of the birth of Jesus, but it's also the promise attached, and that those candles we talked about of Advent that I was being picked at all week, by the way, by Kenny again, is that I told him, I'm not going through all the candles, but because if I did, and even that, as I was researching the last couple weeks, even different churches use different names for different candles. So it's all right. I'm using my own. I just want to focus on Christ and the birth of our Savior, but also the hope that we have isn't just that he came once, but he's coming back again. Is that good news for all of us this morning? I could probably stop, but I'm not, because I want to share a few more things. The other two candles that go into this are, or there's actually four total, but then if you look, there's five in one of them, but there's basically, it comes down to peace, joy, hope, love, and then the Christ candle. But you see, all these things come. Today, I want to go, turn to Nehemiah chapter 8 with me. And believe it or not, we're going to spend a few minutes here. And I know it's going to sound very, very strange. Mark, that look is really good. Isn't Papa looking good back there? Papa, you're looking good back there. Wow, that's awesome. We're going to just read verse 10, and then I'm going to teach, because there's no way in the world. Well, can you read all? We can read all that. It'd just be very odd. A lot of names and a lot of things. But I'm going to go ahead and give you a summary. Chapter 8, Ezra is about to, you go ahead and read that verse, it's fine. Ezra is about to open up the book of the law to these people. And if you don't know the story of Nehemiah was a very strange book in the fact that there's a city in ruins, and God called Nehemiah to go rebuild and build the city back. And in one chapter, they're talking about there's swords in one hand and hammers in the other. They're warring, they're building, they're doing. But at this point, they were really down. And there was about 50,000 people. If you're going to go do the numbers, the next few chapters you'll read, or the next few verses you'd see, there's 50,000 people gathered here for Ezra to open up the book of the law. And it says the people received the word with such joy and gladness because they were hungering for more. And after, believe it or not, folks, you think I'm long-winded? I got bad news for you. Ezra preached for 6 hours. Six. In this chapter right here alone. That's just this one chapter. And after 6 hours, the people wanted more. But here is the part that I want to share with you that's important. Sounds like a very somber message, but it's not. You know, the book that he opened up was a book of the law of us coming to be right with God. Repentance was preached by Ezra, and the word of God was preached by Ezra. And the people responded in repentance. In verse 10, we read this, and they said to him, then go your way. This is after he got done. 50,000 people, 6 hours later. Go your way. I was going to read it from here because I'm going to keep reading. And go your way, eat your fat and drink the sweet, and send portions of them whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto the Lord. Neither be you sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, hold your peace, for the day is holy. Neither be grieved. And all the people went their way to eat, drink, and sent portions and make their mirth because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. One of the things we talk about, one of these candles talks about joy. And when we think about Jesus coming, we think about the joy of the joy of the world, and we sing all the songs about joy. And we'll get to that in just a second. But this is what brings you true joy. I want you to hear me. I know I already went on my tangent, but this goes right along with my tangent earlier. Ezra got up and spoke about repentance for 6 hours. He'd be kicked out of most churches today. And the people were so grieved that Nehemiah got up and said, hold your peace. The purpose of repentance is not so you leave grieved. It's so that the joy of the Lord, it will be your strength. Whoa. So what we're missing in America and what we're missing in the nation is a message that says repentance brings joy. Because when you get right with God, and by the way, I want to make this clear. The 50,000 people that were represented were not lost people. They were backslidden, and there were people who were warring on behalf of this nation. There were people who knew God. So this message was not 50,000 people get saved. It's 50,000 people come to a place of revelation. They need to repent again. Repentance should be the Christian's best friend. Anybody? This ought to be a place that we dwell in, that we love the fact that we have the privilege of going before our God and going before the throne and turning away from our sin and receiving the mercy from that throne. It shouldn't be a way we live. I mean, hopefully we won't need it every day. I'm not saying we ought to live, thank God I got repentance tomorrow. No, I'm not saying. I'm saying it ought to be our best friend when we need it. We ought to celebrate. As Christians, we can be like this. And we read that. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Read the context. Context is repentance. Don't be grieved. Don't be grieved. Go away, eat, drink, but don't be grieved. For the joy of the Lord is your strength now. Because the strength that you had before was built on sin and your strongholds. Now that you've repented, there's joy for you. There's joy, and that's going to give you strength. Because now, no longer are you in your flesh, but you're in the joy of the Lord, which is now becoming strong. And the strength comes from repentance. So we talk this season about Jesus being our joy. The only way we're going to experience his joy is how? Coming to a place of receiving him as Savior and repenting of our ways. And that message belongs to the church. Amen? So, let me give you 1 Peter 1:8. We'll throw that up there real quick. And then I'll turn to another one. And then that way we can get through this. All right. So as they're turning there, I'm going to give you another verse. So while you're turning there, some of you are turning to Psalm 16. So Psalm 16:11 says this. Yes, I'll just read this one verse, I promise. Thou wilt show me the path of life, and in your presence is the fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Where do we find joy? In his presence. So the first place we find joy is through repentance. And the second place right here we find joy is just being in his presence. He said he's going to turn your sorrows into joy. You know, I look back and it's if we talk about what we have this morning regarding Mark and Joni and the family, there's a time to weep and there's a time to rejoice. Weeping may last tonight, but what? Joy comes in the morning. There's seasons for everything. And I'm not saying this is one of the worst things you do is, come on, all right, come on, rejoice. No, hold on. Mourning is good. One of the things that we teach in this class that we talk about is if you have a tragedy in your life and you've never mourned it, be careful. Because that root of pain is still there until you let it out. It's kind of like, I always tell people this, I shared this with the group last night. The number one reason why we need to get healed and set free. If you've ever broken a bone, years ago I was in college and I was playing intramural football because I forgot I wasn't playing tackle football. And as I was, I came in and I went to tackle, which you're supposed to grab flag football, if you remember intramural football. And when I did, my finger came out and went backwards and just broke right off. And I was like, oh, that hurt. And then I was at a volleyball tournament at Michigan State when I was in college, and also because I played on the volleyball team. And I was blocking one of the guys, and that finger came straight backwards again. And so twice, his finger has been completely, like, out. And, of course, we had a great pre-med student, like, oh, I'll take care of it. And they told me later, that was before cell phones. I wish I had a picture of it. I really wish I would have. But he put that thing back in there, taped them together, goes, hey, we need you to set. Get back out there and be a setter. I'm like, okay, no problem. And later on the bus ride home from Michigan State to Taylor, they're like, oh, by the way, your finger was, like, laying right there. But you know what's funny about that? I can't bend that finger at all because I didn't go to the doctor, and I didn't have him fix the bone, so the bones grew back all together, and so now I can't have any mobility in that finger. And that is the same analogy of why God requires us to go and receive the healing and deliverance we need. Because when you get broken and you don't fix it, it's going to grow back the wrong way, and you're going to build your life on lies, and you're going to build the wrong bones. They're going to synergize together, whatever. I think I made that word up. If I didn't, it's okay. I make them up all the time. If you're new to the church, I make them up all the time. But they're going to somehow come together, and they're going to grow the wrong way, and you're going to have a false sense of healing, and you're going to live a life where you're not functioning the way you're supposed to. That's why grieving and mourning is a part of the process. Joy comes in the morning. It didn't come right away because there is a time for all these things. So make sure when you're around people who are mourning, make sure you help them through that process and let it come to completion. So don't just cut it short, because then you might just be putting a Band-Aid over something and having it heal the wrong way. Amen? You all get that? That's really important for us, because a lot of times we start preaching this message, joy, peace, this should be yours. Well, hold on. Pain's real, folks. I mean, when you get stabbed in the leg, you gotta get the knife out, and they gotta let it heal. But I do believe in healing, and I believe in complete healing. I believe in 100% healing, and I believe that, you know, even though there's loss, God will restore and bring healing to us, and the pain will be removed because we have a great God who does that. But joy comes in the morning. 1 Peter 1:8, whom having not seen you love, and whom now you have seen him not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Same words to describe our Savior. He comes with joy unspeakable and full of glory. This is the God that we serve. I want to live a life no matter what. And you know, we talk about this before. The difference between joy and happiness is what? Happiness is based on your circumstances. Joy comes from God inside you. Joy unspeakable. Why is it unspeakable? Because I don't know why I'm joyful today. I don't know why I got joy. I mean, I woke up, I was just crying a minute ago, by the way. You know, I was just crying, but I got joy in me. Why? Because the God in me has got joy. He's a joyful God. He's not always a happy God, but he's a joyful God. Because his happiness is not based on circumstances. His is joy. And he gives us that, and it's something inside of every one of you. And even right now, as we pray for Mark and join the family, there's something in them. That though there's pain, God's joy is still there. You can't feel it, because feelings are what we do in the natural. But God will continue to bring them to a place, and we're going to be there for them to get them through the pain so they can experience the joy of the Lord. Doesn't mean they're joyful about the circumstances. It means God's going to give them the joy of their life. It's a huge, huge promise that we have as Christians. Last but not least, I'm going to give you one more scripture. Two more, three more. maybe four. But John 14. And as you're turning there, I'm looking at my notes going, how am I going to get through this? That's okay. We've taken a few detours today. Luke chapter 1, Luke chapter 2. All right, so you're at John 14. I'm at Luke 2. You see how I'm doing this today? Multitasking. Verse 13, and suddenly there was, I'll be reading this next week too, so don't worry. I'm sorry, that's verse 27 for you up there. I'm sorry. Kimberly, you got 27, I've got 13 here. So Luke 2:13, and suddenly there was with an angel of multitudes of heavenly hosts praising God, saying, glory to God in the highest on earth, peace on earth and goodwill towards men. One of the other candles of Advent represent the peace that we have as Christians. Jesus came to bring peace to our lives. The two types of peace I'm going to talk about before I leave, which is only about a few minutes left. We have to have peace with one another. You know, I try to stay out of politics because I'm not good at it. I'm pretty biased, if you want to know the truth. You know, my son this week, and I'm going to tell on him because then I can blame it all on him for bringing this up. he said to me, he goes to a Christian school, and of course, there's, you know, it doesn't matter, everyone doesn't believe the same way we do. But he said, Dad, I have a hard time believing that somebody can be a Christian and be pro-choice. I didn't make that up, he did. And I'm sitting in that back room, I'm like, that's right, buddy, I do too. Because how is it that we can legislate? Now, at the same time, his paper that he wrote was about the effects of abortion and how it scars and it hurts. And I had the privilege, and both of the two ladies I worked with are with the Lord today, Irene and Sharon, but I had the privilege of working for 12 years in the Pregnancy Care Center and being the chairman of that board for many of those years. And I love the pro-life ministry. You know what we did there? We tried to talk them out of abortion, but mostly we helped the women who had abortions. Because the pain and suffering in their lives. And this is what the media doesn't tell you. Folks, a mother chose to kill her child. Let's not make it prettier than that. And they have to live with the pain and the regret. And it's painful. And I sat across the table of the father who helped make the decision and pay for the abortion. And the guilt over that man, by the way, is just as guilty and just as painful. And I've had the privilege of sitting across a counseling table in Mooresville and read the one that was here in Martinsville. A young couple who chose to abort their child. The pain is real. Well, it's their choice. It was their choice. But every choice has consequences. And the consequences of their choice, they live with. They also tell you the pain it gives their body. Mothers who gave up for abortion now can no longer have a child again because of what it did to their bodies. I hate politics. Let's not make this about politics. It's a woman's right to choose. You know what? It's not. It's God's right to give you a child. And there are families out there that need babies and adoption. There's other options. But as Christians, let me get off my politics now. I was very proud of my son this week, though, having to stand for that. Is I hate some of the topics that we're in today. We are so divisive, and it's not just because of President Trump. It was under President Obama, too. There's a lot of division in our country. But you know what's not going to happen? What's not going to happen in this church is we're going to have peace on earth and goodwill toward men. We're going to choose those that differ than us to love them anyways. And we're going to choose peace over being right. We're going to choose peace. And don't get me wrong. I'm not going to lie. When I sit back and I get my downtime and I get to scroll through Facebook, I absolutely love watching some of the things you guys put on there. I'm thinking, oh, man, I can't hit like because people are like, oh, brother, you really are out there. I got a lot more opinions than you think. And if you ever get on Melody's page, that's the best one. She doesn't spare her opinions. But you know what? Pro-military, nothing wrong with being who you are. Our military is one of the reasons why we're so safe as a nation. We love you, Melody. I bring it up, right? But folks, as much as I do love and point that out, I know Melody loves people more than just, and actually that was one of the posts that she put out last week was, we can still be friends if we disagree. We can still have peace with one another because peace is what God gives us. We don't have to have turmoil to someone who disagrees with you. You can love them the same way Jesus loved them. And so in this season, Jesus came also to bring peace, not just to you, which we'll get to, but to peace amongst men. But this one right here, peace I leave, this last verse, and I promise, look, I'm even closing, I can't close my notes, there's one more verse. I just looked down. This is the second to last verse, Romans 15:13 is my last one. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives you, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled and be afraid. We have a promise that as Christians, we can have peace no matter what happens. Right now, and we can apply it again to Mark and Joni and the family. The peace of God is what keeps you going. It doesn't mean it feels good. It doesn't mean Mark's going to be jumping out of here with joy this morning. Oh, I got such peace. But he has a choice that the peace of God that's in him is going to sustain him through the hard times. And when you get a bad report that's based in fear, you have a choice. To live in peace or turmoil, peace or fear, peace or worry. When something comes your way, you can, and you know, I will tell you, I still fail at this. And I'm going to be real honest with you for a moment. There's a lot of things that those that don't know my life very well, besides being blessed to be here as a pastor. I do a lot of other work on the side. And there's a lot going on. And there's times where you get a bad report from this and this. You start letting that eat at you. You know what? Next thing you know, you got a knot in your gut. And you start getting real edgy. And I realize, wow, what's going on? I lost my peace somewhere on the line. If you're a little edgy today, get your peace back. If you got fear and worry and anxiety bubbling up you, get your peace back. Because that peace was promised to you. Let not your heart be troubled. Let it not be afraid. Peace that God gives you, not a worldly peace. It says, hey, you know, if I walk up to you in the midst of your trial, and I say, Steve, don't worry, everything's going to be okay. Well, you know, that's a true statement, but I don't know the facts. But if I try to go ahead and start helping him through his factual basis of why it's going to work out, that's not the peace that God gives you. That's just working it out factually. But if I say to you, the peace of the Lord is yours, you can walk in it. You have a choice at that point to put on peace or to stay in worry, anxiety, or trouble. It's a choice that we have. And he's given us the peace, this little baby, peace on earth and goodwill towards men. And this is the verse I closed with last week. I'm going to close with it again because I love this verse. But Romans 15, 13 says, may the God of peace, I'm going to look it up because I like to read out of my Bible, but I keep passing it. May the God, now the God of hope, fill you with joy and peace in faith. I talked about that last week. The word believing is the word for faith. So right there, if you're studying and you know the Advent, four candles, all four candles are represented right there in that verse right there. Now may the God of hope fill you with joy and peace. Well, actually, the love is one of them too. I left out, so three of them. May the God of hope fill you with joy and peace in faith that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Christmas, we celebrate the birth of Jesus. We've been given the power to have hope, love, faith, peace, joy. All these things come from what Jesus did for us. I'm celebrating Christmas every week. And next week, we're going to talk more about the birth itself. Yes, and the candle, the Christ candle, the Jesus candle, who he is. But we're going to have some fun with that one too. But today, I want to remind you, the greatest message of Jesus coming is to bring you hope for what you have to come, joy in the midst of tragedy, peace in the midst of turmoil. And when you understand these things, this is what God promised us as he came for us. Amen? So when you go and do these, let's not just take this and leave and go, boy, that's what Jesus came for. Last week I challenged you to be a prophetic people. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, even though if you fail the test, you're in trouble. I'm going to ask you to continue the challenge from last week. Have you gotten up every morning and asked the Lord, how can I give hope to somebody today? Now you can give them joy and peace too. Because when you start talking about the birth of this little baby Jesus, that is what it brought to us, and that is what we need to do to bring to others. You know, I get frustrated as a church that we don't want to just enjoy all the blessings for us. We're doing it. He gave us these things so we can abound and help others. I want you to abound in hope. I want you to live in joy. I want you to dwell in peace so we can be a conduit of that to everyone around us. And point in case, there's a family right here that just represents one family here, but many people around this city and this nation have loss and tragedy, and they need you to give them hope tomorrow, the next day, and the next day. We need to be conduits of hope and peace and joy every single day we live. And when we do that, man, I'll tell you, the joy that comes on you, I don't need a show of hands, but if anybody in this room ever led someone to Jesus and prayed that prayer with them, who walks away more excited? They don't. I do. Like, they just got born again. I mean, it does something inside of you because you were a conduit of hope. This Christmas season, let's not just focus on the gifts and Jesus being born. Let's focus on what he came for, to give peace, joy, and hope to the world around us. We've received it already. Now we got to give to the people. Amen? Let's stand and pray. Father, we thank you this morning. We know why you came. You came to give us a hope and a future, but you came for us to be a conduit of that hope. And I pray that every person in this room would take this seriously, not just went to church again this Sunday and heard a message, but instead it would be, I want to be a beacon of hope. I want to be the bearer of good news. I want to speak joy and peace into someone's life that needs it tomorrow, needs it today, that I want to represent the life of Jesus, what he came for. I want to represent that everywhere I go, that the life of God would flow through me, that people would receive their peace and their joy and their hope back. In the midst of the trials and all the things going on, I'm asking for a special blessing and a peace to be over Mark's family, his sister, his mom, his dad, aunts, uncles, his children. That, Lord, today we as a church not just are with them today, but tomorrow and the next day. That we want to be a hope. We want to continue to bring them hope and encouragement when they need it. A shoulder to cry on when they need it. That we are there as Jesus would be there. And that's the message of Christmas. We become beacons of hope, conduits of joy and peace to whoever needs it. And we pray that in the name of Jesus, amen.
Your strength has found me at my weakest. Your grace poured out in my despair. When I feel lifeless, tired, burned out and defeated, your perfect love will find me there. Look at me now, I'm made all things new. Oh, I was dead, but look at me now. I found revival in you. And you gave me life, 'cause that's what you do. Oh, I was dead, but look at me now. I found.